Got some rain coming in tonight in advance of a front. Some of that could be heavy, so be aware of that. And Peyton Malone suggesting maybe you park your car on high ground. The city hasn't said anything about neutral ground parking yet, but I would presume at some point they're going to say it's okay. Councilmember Freddie King joins us right now, New Orleans City Councilmember from District C, which includes a quarter and Algiers. How you doing, Freddie?
I'm good, Tommy. How about yourself?
Well, sir, thank you. I should mention fellow Shaw graduate, as am I, and as is Senator Pat Connick, so we're proud of those Shaw Eagles. Tell me, Freddie, first of all, your thoughts on the shooting that happened at the second line?
Tragic. It was a tragedy. Sorry that that happened. There are a lot of questions that I have, that my colleagues have, to find out exactly what happened, how I'm prepared. Was the law enforcement, who all patrolled the parade on the second line, just what was put in place to make sure that this was a safe environment? So I have a lot of questions. Was it a good idea to approve the second line the same day as a Saints home game? Mm-hmm. You're putting more of a strain on the already strained police department. How many officers were actually patrolling the second line? I was told that there are about 70 officers in the 5th District. They all were on the street. But, of course, that doesn't mean that all 70 are working the second line. You still have to have people protecting and patrolling other parts of the district, the police district. So you can't dedicate everything to the second line. So I have a lot of questions. What's supposed to be a joyful festival occasion turned into chaos and a tragedy. And I'm committed to this city and to the district to making sure that things like this don't happen and that we can go to places like second lines and different parades and have a good time and not worry about shootings or being shot at or any kind of foolishness like that.
Tell me what's going on with, I saw this story at WWLTV.com about an Instagram account that's sharing juvenile information. I don't know if you saw it or not. Empower You NOLA shares names and photos of juveniles alleged involved in criminal investigations. What does the law say about that? And what is the state of, juvenile justice in New Orleans, Freddie?
I haven't seen that. I'm not really up to date on all the social media stuff. I am familiar with Empower You NOLA, but I have not seen an article. Of course, juvenile pictures and names and charges are confidential, but I can't really speak to that because I haven't seen an article and I don't know the ins and outs about it. But you know, Tommy, I'm a juveniles or youth, whether risk involved or those who are on the street and narrow, that's my passion. So on protecting our kids, making sure that they are out of harm's way, that they get a fair trial, of they're in the system and they're treated fairly, is very important to me. But I can't really speak to this particular situation because I don't know all the ins and outs and the facts and the details.
I had, I went with you to the Juvenile Justice Intervention Center and had a sit down with a round table with about 7 or 8 of the people that were there. And that really did get my attention, Freddie, and it's in my thoughts and prayers every day for the kids that are in trouble or at risk. Has anything changed from, and I'm not trying to be silly here when I ask you this, because, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step, right? So since the time that you and I met with those kids, has anything changed at all for anybody?
Well, I don't know exactly what has changed for the individual youth involved. One thing that I'm working on is trying to get what's called a respite housing. A lot of the kids or a significant number of kids in that juvenile system or in JJIC, quite frankly, don't belong in there. They are not criminals, or they have very, very low level charges. But unfortunately, there aren't enough beds on enough places where we can house these kids where they can get, they may just be a runaway, and sometimes they end up in JJIC. They may just have a poor family structure, and they end up in JJIC. So I'm really pushing for the city to invest in a respite house so where we can have places to house these innocent youth. That's what they are. And we invest in so much in this city. Some things I agree with, some things I don't agree with. But one thing we all can agree in is finding a safe place for our juveniles who do not belong in JJIC, who are not at risk. We got to find a place where they can feel safe, they can feel comfortable and thrive. So that's what I'm focusing on that. We just finished we're wrapping up the budget season. But moving forward, that's going to be one of my main projects and main goals, to locate a place and locate funding for that rest of the house.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back talking to Freddie King, New Orleans City Council member. It is tragic what happened to the second line. I think, you know, unless you're the Secret Service, and even then, you know, you look at what happened in Butler, Pennsylvania. If you're hell-bent on doing something, on opening fire, it's hard to prevent. But he does have some legitimate questions that I'm sure he'll pursue. 8:51 now, 9 till 9, traffic, WWL. All right, 8:57, 3 till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to our friend Freddie King, New Orleans City Council member. Freddie, what's going on with the Algiers Ferry Terminal renovations, RTA, and all that stuff?
The terminal renovations are coming along just fine. There's an upcoming community meeting to discuss the further details with the renovations. As far as the service itself, you know, RTA came to the council last year asking for, I believe they gave them $3 million last year. They came to the council this year asking for $7 million. I'm going to do what I can to have funding this year in the budget for RTA. I grew up in Algiers. Family to this day uses RTA multiple times a week. Mm-hmm. But RTA has to help us with a long-term sustainable plan to fund the ferry. But I'm committed this year to have the ferry funding ready for 2025.
So who does fund it, Freddie? Because it was bridge tolls. That went away, and then it fell to RTA, and that's not where do they get their money? Tell me about it.
The ferry brings in, talking about the Algiers ferry, brings in roughly $1 million a year. But when you're asking for seven, clearly that is a large gap. Last year, the state gave $10 million. The city gave $3 million, so you had $13 million for last year. In my understanding, that the state is saying, no, we're not giving anything this year. So that's why the city is being asked to give about $7 million. And that's where we are right now, Tommy. So we have to find out a way to pass some long-term funding, because I don't think it's fair for the city to every year keep giving out money, and that number's going to keep going higher and higher every year. We need all hands on deck to get a long-term solution to this problem.
How many people use that ferry? Do you have any idea, Freddie?
I was told about 1,000 riders a week. Now, that's 1,000 each way, so you can do the math, maybe 500 to 600 people, something like that. Mm-hmm. But let's say 1,000 people use the ferry, the Algiers ferry, weekly.
For the week?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
For the week.
All right, thank you, Freddie. Appreciate your time. We'll take a break. We come back, we're going to talk to Robert Ross, a professor of political science at Boston College and an expert on U.S.-China relations. What could things be like between the United States and China under a new Trump administration? We'll also talk about kids and education.